Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at YouTube.com/...
Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. If you're on YouTube watching this, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it. And if you're listening to this on a podcast app, be sure to leave us a rating or a review.
Yes, please. Really, we're on Spotify now.
Yeah. We hit the road to Spotify. Now we're on road to Office Space. Of course, we did our Fastlane recap from Office Space.
We did.
Hopefully by Mania, we'll have full
we'll
on Office
fully
Space.
Fully moved in.
We have a new logo that we're going to be coming up that we have.
That may have leaked on Twitter.
Some of you may have seen it. W.S. Fletcher and Robert Stack both leaked it. I don't know what their Twitter handles are, but I think I retweeted them. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw if you have a couple extra bucks to throw around. We got these fantastic Friendo Care packages. I spent half a Raw last night putting together these Patreon packages. Look at that comic book right there. Boom. Boom. I want to have another one of these ready for All In. I want to have like the second Friendo Care package.
All right.
Ready for All In. Sell the crap out of them. Have like an All In exclusive because we're going to All In, man.
Yeah.
We are All In.
We're All In on All In.
Yeah,
we're going to go, yeah.
Absolutely. Got a new logo. Got, it's great.
New era.
A new era because we're going to be in new office. I'm sad.
It's going to be the office era.
It's going to be the office era, exactly. What would be after the office era? The building era? Would we have an entire...
The warehouse era.
We're going to get a warehouse.
Yeah, it seems cheaper than getting a full floor of office building.
Like J.S. Wooten in chat just said, blood in, blood out is good shit.
Yeah, we were talking movie sequels before we started here.
Was there ever a blood in, blood out 2?
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Got to find these things out. Oh, I wonder how much the rights... Can we do the thing? So we were talking in the pre-show for the patrons. We were talking about bad movie sequels, but not just bad movie sequels. Like Weekend at Bernie's 2 was a bad movie sequel because it didn't really make sense.
But also, the first movie wasn't that good either.
Sure was. It's really grim. Really grim. Super grim.
Yeah. Anyways, we were talking about like people that would buy
a
movie.
Weekend at Bernie's 2 is a proper sequel. Movie
Yeah, you're talking about movies where someone would buy the property, the name of the property, make another movie that was really not at all related to the first movie.
Exactly.
Slap a 2 at the end of the title of the first movie and put it out there as if
the
it
biggest
were
example of that
a
is
a full-fledged
is
sequel.
Easy Rider 2, which was literally bought, like the franchise or whatever was bought by some rich guy. And he didn't hire somebody to make the movie. He made the movie himself. And I think he starred in it too. Like he was like the new Fonda, Henry Fonda,
Peter Fonda.
Yeah. Henry Fonda's the dad. There you go. The Ride Home. What the heck?
2012.
Yeah, that's like a fairly recent thing. Dustin Reichert. Oh, maybe he didn't star in it. Thought he did. Thought he put himself in
it. Doesn't look like it.
No, I guess not. All right.
Oh, Johnny Bench was in it.
Who's that?
He was a Hall of Fame catcher. He played a Major League Baseball scout.
Oh, wow. In the movie. Right on. Anyways, we should buy the rights to Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, Jeff Fahey was in it.
He had enough money to pay Jeff Fahey. Wonder how much Jeff Fahey made from that. He's a lawnmower man, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We're also on prowrestlingtees.com/ going in raw. Look at all these great shirts we got here.
Yeah, good stuff. We're going to have some more.
We need to have more, man. We need to do more. Anyways, what if we took Blood In, Blood Out, made it part 2, and then we made it into a wrestling franchise?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
That'd all be about like people, you know, hard way.
Yeah.
No, that's not the hard way.
No.
That's what are they called? Gigging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard way is like when it really happens.
Yeah. When you actually get busted open.
There was a lot to like about Raw last night, and there was a lot that I wish I could hit the reset button on.
Yeah.
I wish they'd redo a couple things. Because I think there were some things that
like even the opening segment is how I feel.
I agree.
I feel like they're tossing too many ingredients into this let's get Roman Reigns over before Mania stew here. And it might work to the detriment of it all, especially here. We'll go through it. So Kurt Angle comes out. He drops a promo, talks about his match at Mania. Himself, Ronda Rousey, teaming up against Triple H. Stephanie, he says, oh, yeah, also no Brock Lesnar tonight.
Yeah, by the way, no Brock Lesnar tonight. He said, he's either traveling or he's sick.
Or he just doesn't want to be here.
Apparently Brock, so sometimes when you call in sick to certain jobs, like I know when my wife used to call in sick to the post office, they'd have an automated system where you could do it. If they have like a mass number of employees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Brock like didn't hit the button that was other.
Yeah.
It wasn't like sick, personal leave. He just hit other.
Yeah.
So nobody knows why he was out.
Yeah.
Or he just called and said, I'm not coming in. Why?
Click.
Click.
Yeah. He just hangs up. So anyways, this brings Roman Reigns out because he's been wanting his face-to-face with Brock ever since he won the match Elimination Chamber. And he drops a shoot-style promo where he calls Brock Vince's boy.
Yeah. So here's the thing. They are. You're right. They're doing. They're trying way too hard with this. They're saying, "What's the hey? What's the knock on Roman Reigns? He's Vince's boy. Let's have him say that about Brock. Let's have all the criticism that's levied against Roman, and let's just turn around and say that's the Brock. Bad stuff for Brock."
I know. The problem is that everybody knows that's not the case.
I know. It's really difficult to get on board with Roman as man of the people, as worker. As proletariat guy, it's hard to get on board with
well,
that.
Well, it would be easier to get on board with that if he didn't say, if WWE wasn't ignoring the fact that for the last 3 or 4 years, Vince has been, or Roman has been Vince's number one guy.
I know.
And everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And to put that into story, but transition that to Brock, does everybody know that's BS?
They're straying into waters where I don't think they're clever enough to really wade through them.
Yeah.
Because when you're starting to get like meta with things, like Brock is Vince's boy, and then he's like, I walked past Vince and he didn't even have the respect for me to tell me, you know, because Vince is at gorilla position with Shane apparently. He didn't have the respect to tell me to my face that Brock that things have changed and Brock's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And then he goes backstage, and for the first time that I can recall, the camera follows him
back to
gorilla position.
Yeah. That was great.
I like that. I like that a lot. I have two big problems with it though. Actually, I have one big problem about it. I don't know why I said two just now. My main problem is that Roman just needs to have more fire when he's talking about this stuff. If this was, and I don't like to make comparisons because they're two different characters, but do you remember like what you felt when Stone Cold, if he was in a similar position and he would go and run down Brock Lesnar or whoever he would run down, if he were in the same position, you'd start to get amped because he's about to go backstage. We're following him and he's going to rip into Vince. Roman, he stepped up to him and he sort of shoved off Shane a little bit. He sort of said, get out of my face. I feel like there should have been more volume and bass to his voice.
Yeah.
That was my main thing. If there was like, if I really thought that he was going back there to start getting in Vince's face and really be disrespectful, which he really kind of wasn't.
No, I don't get why he was suspended for anything.
Well, the implication, of course, was that he maybe cursed at Vince in backstage or something like, or in the office, because Vince says, okay, let's go to my office now.
Yeah.
He's old. And so then they go back to
his office.
I'll just
say this, compared to all the literal crimes that have happened kayfabe on television.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah.
None of those
warrant
a suspension.
Right. Exactly.
You raise your voice to the boss and you get suspended.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the thing though, too, is that we also know that, you know, Titus did this.
Yeah.
And he got suspended for like 60 days.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I like the idea of Brock as lazy worker. I just felt like last night was a bit of a misfire.
Well, I think if they concentrate on that aspect of it alone, rather than trying to get Vince involved as a secondary heel type character, because it's worked in the past, it worked for Roman in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just too much.
Yeah.
Just focus on the main story, which is Brock doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Roman put him out there as the guy who does. That should be your story.
Because I liked when he said, I thought that it was trying too hard, because he literally said, let me say something that you can relate to. He said those words, that sentence. I was like, okay, like we get that that's what you're going for when you really try. Again, I mean, the knock on Roman is that he's being shoved down our throats. And what he said last night was literally something that he shoved down our throats. You know, let me get to your level. Let me say this so that all of you out there can understand this.
If you don't show up at work, what happens?
What happens? Exactly.
You get fired.
Yeah. And
but
so,
then he says, if I don't show up to work, I at least get a heavy fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not exactly the same.
It's
as
not really related to
everybody else. No,
but I mean, look, I appreciate the intention, and I think that it's as good as any way to go. Because I mean, I think back to how tedious. Number one, the build to Mania this year for the most part on Raw has actually been a lot of fun. I loved Cena's segment last night. It was
great.
On SmackDown, there was some stuff that could be desired, but the Asuka Charlotte, at least the first thing that we saw, was great. And I liked Charlotte Asuka on Raw last night. And so I don't know. I like the general idea. I don't need it to hit a home run every time out. I just, you know, I have a couple little critiques about it, but I like the general idea of it. He goes back there and he talks to Vince. I just thought there are more effective ways to get the crowd behind Roman than really what we saw last night. But I thought it was a valiant effort. So he goes to Vince to Gorilla, and then he says, let's talk about this in my office.
They cut to commercial, come back. Renee Young standing outside of Vince's office.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns walks out, kind of in a huff, seemingly upset.
Doesn't want to talk to Renee.
Yeah. Vince comes out a couple minutes or a moment afterwards. First, you know, he says that Brock will show up next week. He says, you have my word, Brock will be there. He's not going to be
That's
there.
That's when that, yeah. Exactly.
He's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And then kind of in passing, he says, oh, by the way, I've temporarily suspended Roman Reigns for his actions tonight.
And he says, Roman needs to do what his cousin, The Rock, used to say, know your role and shut your mouth. Man, if
his role is number one guy.
If Vince had ever said that to Stone Cold.
Oh, stunner.
Yeah, he would have freaking dropped
stunners.
Him. Multiple stunners. He would have dropped
him. No, they should have done is had Roman spear Vince through the door of his office. That would have got Roman over.
That would have been rad, man. That would have been great. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, you can get Vince. Like, I know Vince would have wanted to do it, but get, like, a body double for Vince.
Yeah.
They're off, you know, they go off to the bottom
of
the frame.
Yeah, they spear off out of frame.
Out of frame.
Roman gets up. You can, as he walks off, you could switch the Vince double with real Vince.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Pan camera back to the floor.
Yeah.
There's Vince.
Post-spear.
He could
have totally
done
that. He
could not have even taken the spot. It
would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
No, I know. That would have been
And that would have warranted a suspension.
But I don't like the idea that Roman, you know, Vince used to be, we're living in the same universe as we were in the Attitude Era. And Stone Cold used to run roughshod over Vince. And I don't expect Roman to start punching Vince, but we saw, a Kevin Owens headbutt.
Well, Roman did punch Vince.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. Like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
When he won the title off
Sheamus
on Raw.
So we've seen that before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there are ways to make Roman look a bit more. That's been our kind of constant. That's why we loved it so much when he did win the title after Superman punching Vince, is because we like the anti-authority guy. Like
it worked
so well with Stone Cold, and you can adapt that because they're insistent on having authority figures as a constant, usually in a heel role on TV. You need the anti-authority figure.
Yeah.
And for a guy who's sort of just playing company guy and just, you know, expressing his displeasure at things.
Yeah.
It needs to step up.
It does. Yeah. And I don't know how they're going to handle it next week. First of all, we don't know how long Roman is suspended. Is he going to miss next week's show? If he misses next week's show, I wouldn't be surprised if Brock showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not getting that face-to-face anytime soon between them.
Yeah.
But say Roman is on next week's Raw, Brock no-shows, how is Vince going to, you know, justify that to Roman?
Okay, well, that's that.
Here's another problem. If that happens, obviously that's an embarrassment to Vince. Is he still going to make an apology for Brock for no showing?
Here's the thing. I'm fine. I like that because
that
amps things up for Vince, because now it's like, oh man, now Brock, he didn't just make Roman look like a jerk. He made me look like a jerk because I just gave my word. That when he said that last night, I mean, Brock is not showing up last night.
Oh, absolutely
night.
Not.
He is not showing up next week. So so I like that. And I like, that is the question. What's Vince going to do? So I hope, you know, they have another opportunity to escalate this further. And it is going to be interesting to see what Vince does when Brock doesn't show up, because he's not going to show up.
No, he's not showing up.
I mean, it might very well be he's not going to show up till Mania.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that'd be kind of interesting. I mean, literally pose the question.
The question, will
Brock show up for Mania?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, that's an interesting take. So I like the story. It's not always told exactly the way that I think it could be the most effective way.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't mind Vince being involved, but to kind of transfer the idea that Brock is Vince's guy rather than Roman seemed like a misstep, because everybody knows that's not the case.
Right, I know, exactly. It seems, it's, I'm not going to say, I always like in your terms whenever you say something's too literal. I think it's too obvious. They're trying to pull a switcheroo and they kind of showed their hand last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So after that, we had Sonya Deville versus Sasha Banks.
Sonya Deville, of course, came to the ring with Absolution. Mm-hmm. Bayley hesitantly joined Sasha ringside.
You know, these things always kind of, this kind of bugs me a little bit when, so you've had a week. Am I to believe that they literally haven't said anything? Like, what's the conversation that would lead to Bayley hesitantly coming out with Sasha?
Like, either they patch things up in the week between the two shows, or they haven't.
Or they haven't.
And if they haven't, why would Bayley join Sasha at all?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe they haven't talked. Maybe they text here. I mean, we have to fill in the gaps. But, yeah, either they patch things up.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they ride together on the road.
Yeah, I know, exactly. We've seen that in ride along.
They just sit in the car for 2 hours, music playing, don't talk the whole time?
Yeah, I guess so. so anyways, Bayley did help Sasha Banks get the victory.
Well, yeah, she kept Absolution from interfering. Sasha mm-hmm. picked up the win. Sonya tapped out the bank statement, but as soon as the bell rang, Bayley was gone.
Yeah, she took off.
Back up the ramp, backstage, Absolution attacks Sasha. No Bayley to make the save.
To help, exactly. So given what we saw here, I still think that it's going to be, will they patch up their friendship to take on Absolution?
It seems like it, yeah.
By Mandy, because it gets Absolution on the show and not in the Fabulous Moolah Royal. Let's see here. Next up, I thought this was very entertaining. I love this. I love this, the Miz TV segment with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. I thought this was a hit. Miz is, we've said this a million times before, Miz is sometimes at his best.
Oh, when he's trying to start problems.
When he's instigating, exactly. So he brings...
the glee on his face when he thinks he's pitted two people against each other mm-hmm. due to his machinations is hilarious.
No, it's fantastic. He has Seth sit down, he has Finn sit down. He goes to Seth and he says...
you should have a problem with Finn, he's always... You know, getting in your business.
Yeah.
This could have been a one-on-one match between Miz and Seth.
He ruined your opportunity, essentially. And then Seth says, look, dude, you're not going to, that's not going to work. What you're doing isn't going to work. And then he turns to Finn and he does the exact same mm-hmm. thing. He says, you beat Seth at, you know, for the Universal Championship. And Finn says, I literally just saw you do this to Seth Rollins in front of my face. And now you're trying to do it to me.
Yeah.
And then they do start to get into a little bit. They stand up, Seth and Finn. Miz starts to back up. And like you said, he's got that look on his face like, yes, achieve my goal.
Yeah.
They're going to go at it now. And then they both stop and they both look at the Miz.
Take him out.
Yeah.
And then Seth hits Finn. Later on, we get a match between the two of them that was very, very good. Next, Thibar taking on the Miztourage. Thibar still saying, we have no opponents for Mania. Open challenge, yada, yada, yada.
And Miz, before his the start of his promo, mentioned that the Miztourage had an opportunity to punch their ticket to Mania. We're assuming he meant if they were to beat the bar, they would be going on to fight for the titles.
So the Miztourage attacks Thibar before the bell even rings. Bell never rings. The Revival come out. Club come out. Titus Worldwide and Slater and Rhino come out as well. Huge brawl. Everybody's brawling. Match never starts. Just a brawl.
Yeah. Next up, we had a lengthy John Cena promo. This was genius. I love this. Because at this point with John Cena, this is basically the only route you can go without feeling like you're treading ground mm-hmm. or treading old ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because he comes out and he essentially says, I have no road to WrestleMania. I'm going to be buying a ticket and
I'm
going to
be
a blast.
Fan. I could be sitting next to you or you or you or you. He's going to be in a luxury box. But are you or you or
oh,
you?
Oh, no, he's not. No, he's going to have a seat.
I hope so.
Until it's time for the Undertaker to come out. He'll come out and then John Cena will hop. He's going to have a seat. Or they're going to do a thing where he's going to be constantly in different areas.
See, I think that'd be great.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. I am actually legitimately hyped for Mania. There are so many cool things happening. I am legitimately hyped for it. This has been a fantastic set of matches that they're setting up here. And this is the greatest thing. He said, I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to be out here. He hops the rail, goes, stands next to some super hyped fans who have, one dude has a beer. Cena takes it.
No, he says, let me have a drink of that.
Yeah, the guy hands it over, you know, with much enthusiasm. Cena takes the tiniest little sip
of beer.
Exactly. And then gives it back to him, and he's like, oh, that was so good. Then he goes back in there, and he realizes, he says, you know, it makes me realize that I can do the thing. Since it doesn't matter anymore, and I don't have a match, and I don't have a road, and I'm going to be a fan, I can do whatever I want right now. I can do the thing that they don't want me to do. And if it really is the front office that doesn't want me to do this, they'll cut my mic off while I say this. Undertaker, I'm challenging you to a match at WrestleMania. No, mic's still on. He says it again and he says it again. And he says, okay, so it's not the front office that has a problem with this match. It can't happen?
Must be the Undertaker.
It must be the Undertaker. I wish he would have referred to him as Mark.
Oh, I know.
I really wish he would have done that. But he looks dead in the camera.
At least one moment, yeah.
And he issues a challenge. He says, if you were washed up, if you really were broken down, you wouldn't be posting Instagram workout videos on your, or you wouldn't be posting workout videos on your wife's Instagram.
Yeah, he calls him out saying he's too egotistical to come to Mania. He said,
interesting tack to take.
You fail. He says to the Undertaker, you fail and you run and hide. I fail. I put a smile on my face and try harder the next day.
Exactly. I was geeked out, man. Because you could tell Cena's having fun. You can tell times when Cena is phoning it in.
The one thing I wish he kind of would have referenced more clearly is the idea that Undertaker retired after his match last year.
Yeah, I know.
If he just said something like, you know, last year you failed and you decided to call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I fail and I return, you know, more resolute to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. I loved it though. I thought it was fantastic.
The crowd was super into it too.
The crowd was, and that's, dude, you're absolutely right. And by the end of it, when he had Cena is the best talker of all goddamn time, man. I'm telling you, he can take that crowd who has been seeing him and having him being shoved down your throats for 15 years now. For over 15 years.
And even earlier on during the segment, he's like, all right, I'm not going to hear this at Mania, so let's do it now. Let's go, Cena.
And then Cena sucks.
It's because he embraces all of it.
He does. It's so brilliant. And he had that crowd eating out of the palm of his hands. When he goes out there and he drinks a beer with somebody, are you kidding me? There isn't one person in the arena who wouldn't love that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out there, and you've said this a million times, that part of the Cena sucks bit is... that's part of the show.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think about him, half that crowd are probably chanting both those things.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the show. That's part of the Cena thing, the Cena experience. So I thought it was absolutely great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Look, man, I know a lot of people out there are still like, oh, I still don't want to see this match. I don't care. I mean, does it hurt to watch Did it hurt to watch The Undertaker last year? Yeah, kind of. But I don't care. Cena's going to find a way to make it interesting because that's what Cena does. Or at least he'll find a way to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. And here's the thing. Cena's totally going to job. Mm-hmm. I think this is to get in one last win for The Undertaker.
Before he hangs him up.
Before he probably hangs him up. There's, who knows, about 35, they might concoct some way to bring him back again.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. But Cena's totally going to job to The Undertaker. He told us that last night. And it made me realize, oh, man, because John Cena...
He say, who here wants to see The Undertaker kick my butt?
Who wants to see me get a tombstone from The Undertaker? Mm-hmm. And it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And he's totally going to job to The Undertaker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's going to give Undertaker a proper send-off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
The potential's there.
So given that Kid Rock is entering the Hall of Fame, is there a chance we're going to get the Dead Man Inc. or American Badass?
Could be.
That'd be something else, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think that's the best way to get around the apparent retirement last year is have him come
The retirement of the Powers of the Darkness, and then he comes back. But then he'd have to... do you think he can do a last ride powerbomb?
No, he tried that against Roman. Didn't work. He couldn't lift him
that's
up.
That's right.
I mean, he got him up. He couldn't lift
his
arm. So
I guess that's not exclusive to his Dead Man Inc.
But he can do a last ride. That submission hold he started using when he was...
No, the last ride is a powerbomb.
Sorry.
Hell's Gate.
Hell's Gate. He started doing when he was American Badass.
Yeah. So I'm geeked, man. I think it's
going to
be great.
Yeah, hopefully it is Biker Undertaker.
How great would it be if he came out as Biker Taker and delivered kind of a little bit out of character. You know, I mean, because that's, you know, just a badass. Like, Cena, get in here. What do you think Undertaker was doing last night? I don't know. You think he was watching that back at home? You don't think so, really?
Nah.
Oh, I think he was probably tickled by it. I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that he was sitting there in his Lazy Boy.
I think he DVR'd and fast-forwarded through Raw and just maybe watched that segment because he heard about it.
That could be.
Like
that
someone texted him last night.
Yeah.
Hey, Cena's calling you out.
I know. They told me that was going to happen. That should be a fun match. I feel good. My hips still kind of hurt, but...
Yeah, he was limping on Raw 25 still.
Yeah. That John Cena, man, he really can't talk. He got me geeked out for this match.
I kept saying no.
I
want to
see that.
I'm a yes.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Literally
changed
his
mind.
Yeah,
right there sitting watching Raw.
I was telling Vince, I'm not sure it's going to work, but holy crap, that was a great promo.
I'm really starting to feel the powers of darkness.
Hey, John, how about this, John? Let's not have a match. You just get my seat, all right? I'll PayPal you the money for a ticket. Get whatever seat you're going to get. Get me one next to you. And then we'll go hang out.
And we'll watch WrestleMania together.
Powers of the darkness.
Should be a great show, man. I'm looking forward to this. Throw back some beers with John Cena.
I remember when he first came in. He was great. For a second, I thought he had powers of the darkness.
Powers of the darkness.
Talk about somebody with real legacy.
Oh, man. Anyways, next, Thebar was backstage, upset about getting beat down by the rest of the tag division. They go up to Kurt Angle, and they say, yeah, we issued an open challenge, but we didn't expect to get beat up by everybody. We want to get traded to SmackDown right now.
Oh, you didn't know? Come on over. I'll jack up your creative.
I know, and they start talking about all the awesome matches they could be having over there in SmackDown. Kurt Angle says, no trade to SmackDown. We're going to have a Raw Tag Team Battle Royal tonight to determine the Bar's Mania opponent.
Did you see Pulse tweeted out? There's some Snapchat video out there, and I don't know where it came from. I think it was a Snapchat. It's a vertical video of Renee Young and Road Dogg backstage. And it's just a little fly on the wall thing where it looked like completely out of character. He didn't know the cameras were rolling or whatever. And he said something. It was just casual conversation. He said, okay, I got to go. I'm going to go kill SmackDown. Meaning I'm going to go do a good job on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But then Pulse tweets it out. And he said something hilarious. I love Pulse. He's a great like one of my favorite Twitter follows.
Oh, yeah.
But because SmackDown's so bad.
Yeah, it's not very good these
poor
days.
Poor Road Dogg. Get together, man. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think T-Bar watches SmackDown because they might know who's on there, but I don't think
they might change their mind about wanting to go over there. Next, we had Elias came out, obviously selling injury, neck brace.
Oh, wait, did you say this last part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has his guitar, starts to talk, doesn't get to his catchphrases.
No.
He just gets up and says, this is all your fault.
This is all your fault.
And walks out of the ring.
And then he leaves, yeah. So I wonder what that means for Elias at Mania.
I don't know.
We can speculate regarding... So Braun had a promo next. What did he say? Did he...
Piano!
Okay, yeah. He was just talking about
he was emphasizing the piano and says, right now, I don't have a match for Mania, but rather than... he was like alluding to Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like complaining, trying to find a way. I'm going to make my path, make my road to WrestleMania tonight.
And it was
amazing. Oh, man.
And it was amazing. I was so geeked out by the end.
I'm going to WrestleMania.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite moment of the, like one of my favorite moments of the year. Because it wasn't in his deep voice. It was his high-pitched screaming voice. I'm going to WrestleMania!
It seemed like a shoot.
It did! It totally did. But we'll get to that in a second. Next up, we had a fantastic match. A top six level pay-per-view match between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. I thought this was great because I thought there was a lot of good countering.
Yes. That was the story they were telling last night.
That was the story they were telling.
Two guys who were very familiar. I mean, they'd been tagging together on the house show circuit. Which they haven't really talked about on TV.
Yeah, they
haven't
really, yeah.
But they were still telling the story of two competitors who were extremely familiar with each other in ring. It was just, a month ago they had a match where Seth brought back the stomp.
Mm-hmm.
And the finish of this match told that story where Seth was going for his superplex Falcon Arrow combo. He hit the superplex as he was rolling over to pick up Finn for a Falcon Arrow. Finn rolled him up and got the win.
Yeah.
But a lot of really good back and forth. A lot of
good counter. The attempt at a sling blade from Finn, the attempt at a revolution knee from Seth or whatever they're calling that thing.
Yeah, that cool knee.
A lot of great countering and Finn squeaked out the victory. Finn needed to win this because he's been on the losing end of Seth for a little while now. Oh, goodness. All right.
All right.
Let's talk about this. Next up, so we had heard rumors that they were going to do...
an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal type match for the women's division.
Great idea.
Fantastic idea.
Fantastic idea. What isn't so fantastic is who they name this thing after. This is kind of surprising to me that they would have done... It is and it isn't. Because the WWE, and I'm going to say this without a hint of irony, has been better at not being so tone deaf lately. I thought the Mae Young Classic was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
From everything from the build to the video packages to how they approached it, I thought it was a magnificent showcase for women's wrestling.
Agreed.
And I thought it was great. And Mae Young, as far as I know, she's, you know, she's a worthy person to have that as her namesake or whatever. Fabulous Moolah doesn't just have a sketchy history. Her history is terrifying. You can go back. I linked on the at Real Going In Raw. Twitter.
You posted several tweets this morning.
There's a number, a plethora, and we sort of mentioned this.
We did some sort of we did a countdown on 10 greatest women's wrestlers, I think.
We mentioned
you know Moolah's past.
Yeah, but we were kind of. I mean, even that, like, we hadn't done probably all the research we should have done. But I think this past. Didn't that Fastlane? We were talking about who they should name a Memorial Battle Royal after. I mentioned something. I think I jokingly said Alundra Blaze, but she's obviously still alive.
Yeah.
But in seeing the response, especially on Twitter, it's surprising to me because I understand some people were kind of making the point of, well, they're mentioning Moolah because to the casual fan, she's a name that's known from the Attitude Era as a pioneer in women's wrestling. I think that's bullshit because I think that so many of the fans that they have, like, do you really think 1.5 million people who ordered the network can be considered casual fans? I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think that they have 1.5 million really, really hardcore fans, or at least hardcore enough to order a $10 a month WWE network. That you really shouldn't be trying to especially with a match like this. Like, if you're trying to appeal to casuals, if you will, using Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But this is something that wrestling fans are looking forward to. They want, because they want, by and large, you know, given the success of the Mae Young Classic, we want to see this kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so I am kind of surprised that, because also they named it the Mae Young Classic and not the Fabulous Moolah Classic, we all kind of thought, okay, they're going to be staying away from Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
Her history is terrible.
Yeah, it is.
I linked to an article that talked about the history of Sweet Georgia Brown, who was a wrestler back in the day who Moolah sort of took under her wing. And there's some nasty, nasty stuff there. Including the allegation that she used to pimp out her students, her wrestling students, to various male wrestlers and promoters.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
It's awful.
Absolutely terrible stuff. So it is surprising that they would have named this after her. And it is kind of surprising that they would have their current crop of female talents go on and espouse the virtues of the Fabulous Moolah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappointing, especially when even in their own legacy wing of the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah. They have
names like Mildred Burke. Is it Judy Grable? I think.
Yeah.
They have other names in there who actually have, some bright spots to their history, even outside of wrestling.
Yeah.
I think Grable, in her later years,
worked with
ailing, sick veterans, and the WWE loves that stuff.
Yeah.
Why not take this as an opportunity to educate people about these other names rather than just sticking with this one that, you know, that, oh, well, people might know her because we brought her back for the Attitude Era and she was crazy, you know. But no, man, she has a tear. And this stuff is so easy to find, and it goes viral, if you will, so fast.
I mean, most of the stuff about Moolah is on her Wikipedia page.
Right, exactly.
It's right there. It's not hard to find.
The bare basics of a search. Yeah. Like, people know these days that her past is not a pretty one.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, did she hold that title for a long time? She literally owned the title.
Yeah, she owned the title and sold it to Vince in the 80s.
And held everybody down.
Yeah.
And, like, rip them off financially, even.
Yeah.
So, I don't... This is one of the most tone-deaf things they could possibly do. It is disappointing. It wouldn't surprise me, I mean, if enough people kicked up shit, that they said, hey, after more thought, we're going to rename it something.
Mm-hmm.
It would surprise me, and it wouldn't surprise me. I'll put it that way. Because companies these days are a bit more quick to acknowledge, hey, we messed up.
Yeah.
We're being transparent about it. We're going to do something about it.
I would think if there is a significant uproar, the most likely scenario, they would follow through this year, then next year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Change it to something
That could be. So,
it was a bummer not to see the match. I think the match is a great idea.
Yeah,
really
it's a great
happy.
Idea. Absolutely.
I'm really happy about the match itself. Just the fact that they would name it after Moolah is a bit of a disappointment. It's not a bit. It is a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up, we had an Asuka interview. It was going to be an Asuka interview, but Charlie Aster, you showed up at Fastlane, challenged Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Everybody assumed you would be taking on Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Why? And as soon as she was starting to talk, Alexa Bliss came down with Mickie James.
Yes.
And you know, she did her kind of Mean Girls routine. And she said, you know, you're going to the B show because you're too scared to fight me because you know that I'm an elite competitor. I won Elimination Chamber and you're not going to be able to beat me. I loved Asuka's response.
Yeah, I beat you. I want to be the woman. You have to beat the woman.
I love that she said that.
I want to take on the best champion in WWE, and that's Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why.
Exactly. I thought that was plenty. That was all we really needed. Then Alexa Bliss says, well, right now you're going to have to deal with somebody who has some unfinished business with you. This woman, of course, we all expected Nia Jax.
Yeah.
She didn't come out, which led to a match. Oh, so Alexa and Mickey both attacked Asuka, led to a match between Mickey James and Asuka.
Which was really good.
It was a really, really good match. Yeah, it was good. Mickey James attacked. They went to the outside. Asuka tried to kick Mickey, instead ended up kicking the
ring post.
Ring post thing, the big LED thing.
A sunset flip powerbomb that Mickey James did onto Asuka.
And her response when she kicked out. I thought that was good. I thought that's kind of an unsung aspect of Asuka's game. You know, they often focus on how dominant she is. But the idea that she can kick out of anything, I think, is something that I would like to see them focus on with the Charlotte, the Charlotte stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, Asuka ended up making Mickey James tap out to the Asuka lock, I believe.
Yeah.
And that left Alexa Bliss a bit disconcerted. It does kind of bug. It kind of bugs me when the heels don't acknowledge that Asuka already kicked my ass. Shouldn't Alexa Bliss be a bit on the?
Well, she should know that she already lost to Asuka.
I feel like she
was on Raw. We all saw it.
We all saw it. I feel like she should have been a bit more, I don't know, wary of facing Asuka.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she was like...
Well, maybe she thinks now not only would she have Nia in her corner, now she has Mickie James.
Right, yeah.
The numbers game is to her advantage.
Right,
and then
yeah.
That was her rationale.
I guess she's an arrogant heel. She's supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
I do like that Asuka just said to beat the woman, you got to be the woman. And I just wish that she would have rubbed Alexa's face in a little bit. You know, I like that. But Alexa's a heel, so, you know, whatever. The next bit I'm a bit iffy on, but we both have some conflicting feelings about it.
Alexa, as soon as Mickey taps out, she hightails it backstage. She just storms out.
Yeah. And she did have a look of, oh, crap, look on her face. She was a bit disconcerted because she felt like Mickey James had, especially after the leg thing, she had a good chance to get the job done. But she did look a little, you know, disconcerted.
Yeah.
If that's what.
Next, backstage, Nia's in the locker room. Alexa comes in and says, where were you? It's calling for you to come out. Nia says, well, Kurt Angle says, I have a match. I was getting ready for that. And Alexa is like, well, I was counting on you. He's still, you know, dealing with the embarrassing loss to Asuka last week. And then they seem to kind of make up at the end. Alexa says, I need you in my corner next week when I take on Asuka. Can I count on you? Nia said, yeah. They said, you know, I love you to each other.
Yeah.
Hugged.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nia comes out for a match against Joan Kings, destroys her in a matter of seconds, wins with a Samoan drop.
Jobber King.
And she's in the ring. And then they were supposed to cut backstage to an interview with Alexa Bliss.
Instead, we got some GTV.
Yeah, pretty much. So Alexa Bliss and Mickie James are in the locker room talking all sorts of trash.
Big
with a boom mic just hanging out right there next to them.
Right, exactly.
And, of course, it's broadcast to the arena.
Yeah.
So Nia Jax is hearing everything they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, they're going over the conversation that Alexa and Nia had last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really dumped on.
Calling her insecure, calling her easily manipulated, calling her, you know, she holds my bag. She has no problem walking behind me, holding my bags. She was big. They really hammered the body shaming thing.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And it was completely uncalled for.
So here's the thing about that. Nia's performance was really, really good.
Yeah.
Let's just get through the segment. Nia, then she's
hearing it in the ring, and she's dealing with it emotionally, and she's, you know, she's decimated. She's, you know, she thinks this is her best friend, and then she's saying all this stuff about her. So she gets very upset. She walks out of the ring. She's almost at the top of the ramp, and then
she gathers herself, wipes away her tears, and then gets a newfound, like, now she's pissed.
Yeah, she storms
and she goes back there to
the locker room. Alexa and Mickey have left, and so she trashes the locker room, rips tops off bags, throws stuff around,
and lets out this Klingon yell, the scream that's fantastic.
Yeah,
her performance was amazing.
Yes,
and I guess in the end, that's what matters. I mean, Alexa's a heel. I don't know, man. I'm not huge. I just have really bad memories of the whole Bailey thing, and I feel like that's where they're getting back into with Alexa Bliss. And on top of that, people are apt to cheer for Alexa. Maybe this is just a way to double down on getting her over as a heel.
But I think people want to cheer for Nia because she's so entertaining to watch.
No,
she's been doing such awesome work lately.
Here's the thing. I think this is going to accomplish that goal. I think this is going to solidify Nia as, you know, take Ronda out of the equation because she's dealing with all the authority stuff.
Yeah.
But this is going to establish Nia Jax as top face in that women's division now that Asuka's going to be on SmackDown, I'm assuming. She's going to be going to SmackDown. I'm just kind of torn. I think, I'll put it this way. I think there was probably another route they could have gone with this that could have been equally as satisfying, more complex.
That's why I said
and made more sense.
That's why I think the whole body shaming aspect of it was completely unnecessary.
It's too easy. It's too easy. They go to this mean, because Alexa can do the mean girls thing really, really well. Doesn't mean that's where you go with it.
No.
I thought that they could have explored a genuine friendship between Alexa and Nia Jax in a way that probably could have made more. I don't know. It's too easy. Oh, she's been playing her the entire time. That's what we're at with this. I think that's my main problem with it. I mean, the body shaming stuff does make me uncomfortable. But beyond that, I'm not, you know, sloughing that off or anything. But the thing that bugs me about it even more is that I felt like there was a better, a more complex, a more emotionally interesting story to be telling here, especially with how good Nia Jax has been playing this.
You know, I'll reference the Sasha Bailey stuff going on right now. They could have done something like that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Whereas it was focused on competition, what happens in the ring and how that's affecting their relationship.
Like the idea that Asuka's now out of the picture and Nia Jax now has to deal with the idea of beating her best friend for this title, which she cherishes, that's a more interesting story.
It really is.
Instead, they went the Mean Girls route, which has not worked in the past.
No.
It has not worked. That being said... because here's the thing, like with the Total Divas stuff, and I don't watch it, but I know that just looking at their social media, I know that, you know, Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss are best friends.
Yeah.
And then you introduce this element of, you know, sometimes things work best when we've talked about this before, how, like, you know, we'll see two people who are feuding show up in a picture together, hanging out on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think these two have established such a friendship using social media and on screen, on Raw, what we've seen. And, you know, through the, I would assume the Total Divas, I'm pretty sure that's shown their relationship there as being a very, you know, as being best friends. I think Alexa said that.
Yeah.
And so when we're presented with an Alexa Bliss who's doing the Mean Girl, I think this is it. When we're presented with an Alexa Bliss who's doing the Mean Girl shtick, and we know that that isn't really how it is, the difference between what's real and what's fake just becomes too obvious.
Yeah.
And we like when there's, what do we always say? We always say that the characters are best when it's their personality turned to 11.
Yeah.
And that kind of is echoed in the stories as well. We like when there's some shade of realism there. And this just doesn't strike me as real.
I know.
Because I know that's not the case.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the problem, too. I just think there was a much more interesting story to be told there, and they didn't tell it.
Yes, definitely.
So that kind of bugs
me. No, I agree.
But that being said, I thought Nia, and I even think that in the role that they're using her for, Alexa Bliss is doing a really good job conveying it. I just don't think that's the role that she should be playing.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I think there's more depth that should be there.
Yeah, agreed.
Next up, we had
kind of an Ultimate Deletion preview, a Matt Hardy video package, where we're back at his compound. We see his family. We see the Lake of Reincarnation.
I think they took out some of the outtakes from the original stuff and tossed it in here. I could be wrong about that, but some of that stuff looked very familiar from the final deletion stuff. We got to see Senior Benjamin. We got to see Maxwell. We got to see Rebbe, and we got to see Wolfgang.
Mm-hmm.
What a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was
Bray Wyatt had a promo afterwards saying, "Yes, I will accept your challenge for final deletion." And it was announced it's happening next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Kurt Angle calls a ref in backstage.
Oh, that was great.
That was great.
He said, "I knew Bray Wyatt was crazy, but what the hell happened to Matt Hardy?" Which is great.
He says, "I don't know what's going to happen this match. It'd be pure chaos, but we need you there to referee it."
You know, I should go back and watch some of the Kurt Angle, Hardy's era TNA stuff, because I saw like a little bit. Because their backstage segments were always so perfectly done. Mm-hmm. It had a very documentary
feel.
Yeah,
I always like that about TNA. Yeah,
exactly.
The fly on the wall type stuff.
And there was one bit where Kurt was sitting on a couch, and he was near Jeff Hardy, and he was like, "What, we're all supposed to cheer for Jeff Hardy now because, what, everybody likes him?" And Jeff Hardy said, "Well, yeah, your kid loves me, so yeah, you are." And I don't know. I'm like, oh, my God, I need to go back and watch some of that stuff because I think it was probably really well done.
Yeah.
So anyways, Ultimate Deletion is next week. And yeah, Kurt Angle, he talked to a ref and said, "I need you there."
Yeah.
As, you know.
To referee it.
To referee
it. It's a match. You got to have a three count.
Got to have a three count, exactly.
And that brought us to our main event, this tag team battle royal. T-Bar came out on commentary. All the teams are in the ring right as the match is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
Braun!
This was a surprise that I did not see coming.
I think a couple weeks ago we mentioned, well, what is Braun going to do? And one of us said, maybe he should challenge the tag team titles.
If I said that or you said that, my God, that was a joke.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that was even a possibility. I honestly did not see this coming. I am so glad this wasn't spoiled through one of the dirt sheets because I did not see this coming. And as soon as he shows up, I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to carry both these titles.
Yep.
So that does beg the question. So then we had the tag team battle royal with Braun. The Bar was on commentary. They were saying, this can't be legal. This shouldn't be legal. The greatest thing, Braun comes in and the ref tries to tell him to get out. And Braun says, "Ring the bell."
Yeah.
"Ring the bell." So the ref rung the bell.
Yeah.
Or he called for the bell to be rung.
Yeah. Instantly, Braun eliminates Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shortly thereafter, eliminates Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
They all try to eliminate Braun. Mm-hmm. And then while everybody's trying to do that, the Revival eliminate Rhino.
Yeah. They weren't using their heads there.
No.
Yeah.
Eventually, Braun was taken out. They used the ring steps on him several times.
Mm-hmm.
He came back in the ring, pretty much eliminated everybody else.
Yeah.
Karl Anderson eliminated last.
Yeah.
Braun wins. He's going to Mania.
It was great, though, because, like, Karl Anderson was really getting fired up. He had Braun down on one knee, and he was kept on giving him kicks to the head. And then finally, the last one, Braun grabbed his leg, grabbed him by the throat, I think, or something, and said, "I'm going to Mania."
Yeah.
And he, like, threw him
onto everybody else. Yeah.
It was orgasmic. It was amazing. Braun Strowman has his Mania match.
It's great.
He's taking on T-Bar. The question now is, over the next couple of weeks, will Kurt Angle demand that Braun Strowman? Because this part might be true. The idea that, I don't know, it was a Meltzer or whoever said that the idea is that Braun, or that it's going to be a tag team who at this point isn't a tag team.
Yeah.
Will Kurt Angle demand,
force Braun to get a partner?
Braun to get a partner. And why is that person going to be Elias? Because, oh my God,
that'd be
Larson.
Great. That'd be
if
great.
If Braun and Elias end up as tag team partners.
Oh, wow.
And win the titles.
It could be the best WrestleMania ever.
Oh, my God.
It'd be like Hugh Jackman from The Fountain.
Oh. That's going to be my main event.
Yeah, man.
Elias and Braun, make it happen. Make it flippin' happen. Mm-hmm. There could be some sort of, just like how Kurt Angle put T-Bar together in the, no, I'm sorry, Mick Foley put T-Bar together in the first place.
Yeah.
You guys had your Symphony of Destruction. You guys are going to tear each other apart, even though we know that Elias is going to be the man who gets killed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you with Braun to win tag team gold. I really hope that happens. Oh, that could be so flippin' great, man.
Yeah.
That could be so flippin' great.
That'd be fantastic.
Anyways, let's answer some questions from the patrons out there. Gotta zoom into Patreon. Patreon's a mess sometimes, man.
First, Napoleon Ice Cream Alex C. If Braun wins the tag titles, how are they going to get legitimacy back into the Raw tag team division? Authors of Pain.
You know, however, like when a wrestler gets that one thing and they're able to run with it as a push.
This Alex is going to
be
thing right
the Napoleon now. Ice cream joke.
If they force Braun to get a tag partner, so when he and his partner, Elias, win those tag titles, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they'll disintegrate as a team.
Well, okay, so that was my only other idea also, is that me and Alex C seem to be on the same wavelength here, is that that could be a way to get Authors of Pain the tag titles immediately. Because they have a 2-on-1, they're big dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They might be able to take out Braun.
Yeah, that's true.
But maybe, I also like, you know, the scenario you're saying.
It's not pretty to tell a story between Braun and Elias.
Braun and Elias are not going to be able to get along if that's the team.
And you can always have Elias take the pin so Braun doesn't look weak.
Exactly, yeah.
Or whoever his partner may end up being.
Oh, somebody in chat said Kurt Hawkins. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
But it has to, God,
yeah, it has to be Elias.
It has to be Elias. Are you kidding me?
Here we go. The real Rich Hardesty. For kayfabe reasons, what is the best explanation that Shane is in gorilla position on Raw and furthermore on camera?
Did you see Kevin Owens? He tweeted out like a shot of Shane being there with Vince. He said, while the rest of his team is here in Dayton, wherever they were,
for
the house show, for some reason, he's sitting next to his daddy. Great. What is the best explanation that Shane is in gorilla position?
He's learning how to be a better authority figure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. How about this? Vince called him up right after Fastlane. What the hell are you doing at ringside? You're messing everything up.
You should be sitting here at gorilla.
You should be a gorilla like me. And then Shane was like, what's gorilla? Come here, I'll show you. This position here. They named it after Gorilla Monsoon. Because he always used to sit here, apparently. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
I'm sure there's a reason out there. I know they named it after Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, I know that too.
I
just
assume
don't know
it's because he sat near the curtain, I guess. I don't know.
Dylan the Villain Scribner. If you guys could reshuffle the deck completely on Raw with wrestlers from any promotion, who would be your top 5 singles competitors, female wrestlers, and tag teams on the A show?
Oh, my goodness. Why now? Reshuffle the deck
completely on Raw. I mean, the deck's looking pretty good right now.
Well, the deck looks great on Raw.
He says wrestlers from anywhere in the world. Any promotion.
Any promotion? Did you see Papa Roach? What did you think of it?
Oh, I didn't see it. I just heard about it.
Yeah. It's not a lot of energy to it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It just feels like, you know, all the graphics they use for the show?
Yeah, yeah.
It just feels like they just use that stuff. They like
it's like a template.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels so much like a template.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, who would you want to see on Raw from anywhere in the world? Aleister Black needs to be on Raw. But if we're going around the world,
Okada
on Raw, that'd be something else. I think Naito would work better on Raw if it's an either or situation.
All right.
Put Okada on SmackDown.
Kenny goes to SmackDown.
I don't know. They all of New Japan on Raw.
He goes to SmackDown, but hired as a new creative head.
Oh, that'd be good. I'd like that. That'd be good. Where does Kota Ibushi belong? 205 Live.
No, he's got to be with Kenny on SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
And they just do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, no. So we
like
just want to
mood sauce off balconies.
Can we
stuff
just
like
bring
that?
DDT Pro to Raw? Can we do all right. that? So all that right. it's all just like go-karts?
Yeah, that's good.
And like butts?
And matches in wildlife refuges
or office spaces.
Yeah, that stuff where they're like on a little barge and wrestling, and there's a guy in the water holding a little barge so it doesn't capsize.
Oh man, Embryonic Reflection says
cracks me up.
Brock's voice is messed. Is messed? Missed? Which other? It has 6 upvotes, so I'm trying to do this here. Which other wrestlers have voices that do not suit their
appearance?
I think
he's saying because Brock's voice is kind of high-pitched, and you think a guy of his size
like, hey, how's it going on, Brock?
More like Braun, yeah.
Yeah, he is a little like this. God, he has a whiny voice.
Yeah. I don't know if Roderick Strong's voice is a mismatch for his appearance, but it just wish it had a little more gravitas to it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because if he was a good promo, he could go far.
I know.
Really far.
I know. God, he's like my favorite wrestler. Which other wrestlers have voices that do not suit their appearances at all? I was kind of surprised when I first heard Aleister Black drop a promo, but I thought it fit really well.
Yeah.
I was stunned when Alexander Wolfe finally opened his mouth.
It will be total chaos!
Oh, man. Let's see here. We sort of mentioned this, but it got a lot of upvotes. Joe Jensny said, I am livid about the Nia angle. Rhetorical question, what other ways could they have set up Nia versus Alexa without the body shaming stuff? I think I would have rather had some sort of like...
Actually get into their friendship as opposed to doing the mean girl thing.
You've got like the top prize on the top show. You've got Alexa Bliss, and you've who can be a manipulator, and you've got Nia Jax, who always has her back. I don't want somebody who's a cartoonish mean girl. I want somebody who is kind of torn now. Should I manipulate Nia Jax? Could I? Will Nia Jax accept that? Will she take Alexa? That kind of stuff. It's just, oh my God, she's bigger than everybody else. I want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really want
depth. That
either. Yeah.
Oh, you know, no, you know, I just that totally just reminded me. Matthew from Botchamania tweeted this out. I don't get how the guy monsters in WWE are this bad motherfucker eats girders and lifts cars, but the girl monsters are she was bullied at school because she's not blonde with fake tits and thus prone to crying. That's that exactly sums it up. What you would never see anybody say, oh, Braun is so insecure because he's huge.
Yeah.
You would never, that would never be the case.
Yeah.
So why are you applying that to the girls, to the gals, to the women? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a better way to do it.
There's like a million better ways to do it.
Yeah. Braun ate my homework. Howdy, friendos. If you were in space with no Earth interaction for 1 year.
Oh, I love this question already.
What would be the first wrestling news you went looking for when you got back? Would either of you enjoy catching up on an entire year of wrestling?
That would be great. That'd be awesome. Imagine just taking a year off and then coming back to the product a year from now and seeing how weird it probably is.
Oh, I know.
You know, I always think about that because, you know, if you go back and watch it going in or off from like 2 years ago, you'd be like, man, what's it going to be like when Samoa Joe comes to main roster or Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just fast forward to now, it's like just a normal thing, you know? Like now we sit here and think about, oh, what's going to be like when Aleister Black shows up? And then like, you know, a year or 2 years from now, we're going to be like, yeah, so then Aleister Black showed up and he was like, I want my Intercontinental Championship back.
If we're gone for a year, I'd want to know if Kenny and the Young Bucks resigned with
New
Japan and Ring of Honor respectively, or if
I'm trying to think what the first thing I would do.
I'd want to watch the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 13.
That's not the first thing I would
do. It'd be one of the first things I would do.
I would want
or watch the whole show.
I would just want an info dump. Right. I would get on Wikipedia and look up Raw personnel.
Oh, okay.
And SmackDown
who got called up?
Exactly. Yeah. I think I'm trying to think of like the quickest way to get my info dump. Maybe I'd look up like the latest Mania and see what the card was. I just like now.
It's starting to sound like Shane over there.
Oh, I know. I don't know what my deal is.
Braun's grappling hook booked the worst WrestleMania card possible with the current roster.
Oh man!
Wow. I mean, you can keep Brock versus Reigns, but make zero attempt to make Brock a heel and try to get over Reigns as the face. Just literally just have him be on the same exact path as they were before. Try nothing new with that storyline. So it would guarantee when Reigns won the belt, it would be a chorus of boos.
Yeah.
You mean have Rousey versus Asuka and Asuka loses.
Yeah, but that would generate excitement, though.
I know, but I don't think the crowd would necessarily approve.
What is the question exactly? The worst possible Mania lineup?
Yeah. Based on the current roster.
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, the Bar versus the Bar versus, like, I don't know, Miztourage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, a bunch of guarantees, like a bunch of locks, weird locks. I don't know, Miz versus...
Kurt Hawkins.
Right, exactly. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, the level of talent is such that, like, you can...
Best of 7, Jinder versus Randall Orton.
See, I would... Oh, no. Even that, I wouldn't like. I thought you were going to say Bob Roode. I'd be like, oh, I could maybe get into that.
No, best of seven, all at Mania.
Yeah. Oh, all at Mania. Yeah, there you go. Let's see here. This is not. We didn't go silent. We're looking for questions.
Yeah, we're looking here. For questions. Sorry, your feed is still working.
The cat Daryl Takahashi says, since it seems like Braun is done with Elias, power rank what Elias will be doing at Mania. He'll be winning the tag team championship,
man,
with Braun.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Is this Roman versus Brock feud the most ironic feud you've ever seen?
I mean, they're certainly aiming for that, right?
Seems that way.
It's like, hold on, Roman. When you start, I mean, it's just, what a... Now we'll have Roman call Brock Vince's boy.
See, that's the perception of him amongst the internet wrestling community.
My favorite with Vince is still when he said to Christian, haven't you read the internet? I hate you.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even bring that show back.
I know. Tommy T, hey, friend. So in my opinion, when Rock retired Steve Austin, this is one of the few times in wrestling when someone got retired by the perfect opponent. So my question is, power rank perfect retirement scenarios for some of your favorite wrestlers currently in business. I always thought it was interesting that, and it was a great match, that HBK was one to retire Flair and not Triple H.
Okay.
Joe Shea here says Kane should be retiring Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
They should have a joint retirement type thing.
Yeah, not the most stellar matchup.
No,
though.
But given the history, it makes sense.
I know. I how about something like this? Maybe, how about this? Kane gets retired. I don't know by who, but I'm sorry. Undertaker gets retired, but Kane's in his corner.
All right.
How about that?
All right.
Or
someone retires Kane, Undertaker steps up because Kane was forced in retirement, and then he is also forced to retirement by the same person.
I mean, really, it should have been, yeah. It should have been Brock retiring Undertaker.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they ended the streak. It should have been end of the career, too, you know? I'm trying to think. Who else should be, like, I don't know. I mean, one obvious one is, like, Seth would be retired by Dean or vice versa.
Or Roman.
Something like that. Or Roman, yeah. God, it's hard to think. These guys are so young, like, to think about their retirements.
I know. I'm just trying to think of
who should Cena be retired by?
I mean, I'd say CM Punk, but that's not going to happen.
What about Braun? You see, CM Punk's going to be fighting June
9th. 225, yeah.
225, yeah.
June 9th.
Yep. I like that people found that out via a tweet back.
Oh, I know. By him, yeah.
At a fan who said, you're going to be crying. When are you going to be crying?
In the octagon
in
next
the
time.
Octagon.
And he said, June 9th, after I knock out my opponent.
I cry for winning, or I cry from joy, tears of joy. James Rodriguez. Oh, good question. If 2K were to put a woman on the cover of 2K19, who do you think is more likely to be that superstar? Charlotte, Asuka, or Rousey?
I would like it to be Asuka.
I would actually, at this point, think that it's going to be Asuka. I actually think that's a possibility. I think that's a strong possibility.
Yeah, I think it is a good possibility. Eric, the base hit King Blaha. Hey, Frenos, can you please give Kayfabe Corner the proper send-off before moving to Office Space? Yes. And by the way, Alexa called SmackDown the B show, so somebody in creative is watching you guys, but we've known that for a couple of years now. Thanks. No, I think the perception within the company is that that SmackDown is the B show. It seems that way.
Well, that was part of the Survivor Series storyline.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
We're not the B show. Good question here from Nemo. Who will be the first ever female Hall of Fame headliner? I mean, to be fair, it should be Chyna.
Yeah.
It should be.
It should be China.
Whether it will be, I don't know, but I think her chances are probably as good as anybody else's.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some contenders in the current.
So Trish is in, Lita's in.
But, like, women currently wrestling, you can make the case for Charlotte, for Sasha. You know, by the time she retires, Asuka, potentially.
Right, I know. I was just trying to think if there's anybody, like, before. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, between Trish and Lita's time. And now there isn't really anybody that's going to be retiring. Like, you know, there's nobody. that could headline.
Yeah.
But Charlotte is absolutely a headliner. Sasha's a headliner. Asuka's a headliner. Absolutely. For sure. I'm just trying to think if there could be possibly anybody before then, because that's a good 15 years away.
I know. I can't think of anybody offhand.
I think if it's not China, it's nobody until the current crop.
Yeah.
What about... No.
What? Who are you going to say?
Paige. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think her career was long enough. Yeah. Richard Nason, could this year's Mania feature a clean sweep of new champs? And as of now, it seems each champ is dropping their title. Do you guys believe this could happen?
So Thibar's totally losing.
Oh, yes.
Brock is losing.
AJ is probably going to lose.
AJ and Charlotte.
Miz, I think, is going to retain.
I'm probably, it's the odds aren't huge though.
No, I know, because he's gonna have a kid right around that time.
I would say it's like, yeah, and that's the big thing.
If it weren't for that, I wouldn't say it's a lock.
I would say he has like a 50, and the other two can split 25. Maybe. Who do you think, if it wasn't Miz, who do you think it'd be? Be Finn, right?
Yeah,
it'd have to be Finn.
I would think so.
I would think so too.
Randall's not holding on that U.S. title. Bob Roode's going to get that back.
You're probably right about that. Or Jinder to have Bob Roode chase him.
Yeah.
Usos.
Probably going to lose to Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
We're going to crown a new cruiserweight champion. Charlotte's going to lose to Asuka.
She'll lose to Asuka, yeah.
Nia will probably beat Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I think that's probably a lock.
Yeah,
that's a lock.
That's got to happen.
That's a lock.
So, yeah, I guess so.
Where are most of your confidence points going to lie?
Oh, Roman beating Brock.
Yeah. Where does Cena take or fall in your confidence points? Not that high, huh?
No, I think Undertaker's going to win.
I think he is too. I think Cena will be so overjoyed.
He's going to have a blast.
Yeah,
doing the job to Undertaker, man.
You know what the story there should be? Cena didn't expect Undertaker to show up. And so he just like spends the entire pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
The first 5 hours.
In the weeks leading up to it.
But then at the pay-per-view itself, like he's just down in beers.
Yeah, eating everything.
Dogs. Yeah, nachos.
Nachos all over the place.
And then he's like, and then he hears the gong hit and he's like,
And like he's so shocked he barfs a little bit.
There's the multiple barf moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blech.
Are we going to do pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Let's do pay-per-view. It's been a long show.
I'm going to do WrestleMania 27. Did we do that one before? That's too recent. I'll do five.
Unknown. You're going to do five?
Yeah, I'll do five.
We'll take a look at seven. Don't look at this. Stop looking. Oh, wow. Okay.
How many matches? A lot.
Too many. Let me take a look at six.
Well, hold on. There's probably a lot on this one, too. There are, 14.
Okay, cool. Well, let me bring this up on my phone because I feel like you're just staring at this. What is pay-per-view, Larson?
It's where we quiz each other on the results of pay-per-views in the past.
Oh, nice. There's an emergency 538 podcast. Rexit. Tillerson got fired.
Oh, yeah.
What am I doing? WrestleMania 7?
Yeah. That's what you said.
WrestleMania.
Play-per-view.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
How many do you have? I'm sorry.
14.
You have 14? I have 14 as well, not counting the dark match.
All right, I'll go first. King Haku versus Hercules.
I'll say Hercules.
Correct.
Good. In a tag team match, the Barbarian and Haku with Bobby Heenan took on the Rockers. Of course, the team of... Shawn
I'll
Michaels.
Say the Rockers lost.
No.
Oh, darn.
No, they won.
Darn. Okay. Next, in a tag team match, the Rockers.
Oh, wow.
Versus the Twin Towers, Akeem and Big Boss Man.
Oh, Rockers lost.
Yeah.
Okay. So somewhere between mine and yours, they got a push.
Yeah, I guess so.
In a singles match, Kerry Von Erich, a.k.a.
Texas Tornado.
The Texas Tornado. Took on Dino Bravo with Jimmy Hart.
I'll give the nod to the Texas Tornado.
Good job. Well done.
Next, in a singles match, Ted DiBiase versus Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, the Million Dollar Man won.
And in a double countout.
Okay.
Nobody won.
Okay, fair enough. In a singles match, the Warlord with Slick took on the British Bulldog.
Say the British Bulldog.
British Bulldog, yeah, man. He was hot back then.
Next, a tag team match. The Fabulous Rougeaus versus the Bushwhackers.
I'll give it to the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That was a toss-up. In a tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championship, the champions, the Hart Foundation, of course, the team of Bret Hart and, you know, Jim Neidhart.
Yeah.
We took on, you know, the Nasty Boys, Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags. Who won?
I'll say the Hart Foundation.
Wrong.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, no. The Nasty Boys broke my leg and said, fuck you.
Next, a handicap match for the WWF Tag Team titles. Saw the champions, Demolition, take on the Powers of Pain.
Who's in the Powers of Pain?
The Barbarian and the Warlord.
Why was this a handicap match?
Because there's three members of Demolition. Although it says there's only two listed here. Oh, sorry. Demolition versus the Powers of Pain and Mr. Fuji.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'll say Demolition won.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the time when they had the belts forever.
Now, I know you know about this match, but do you remember who won in a blindfold match?
Oh, wow.
Rick Martel versus...
I think Jake won that.
Jake did win, yes. Very good.
Next, Ronnie Garvin versus Dino Bravo.
Oh, my God. That's a toss-up. Dino Bravo.
Yeah.
Nice. In a singles match, Jimmy Snuka took on The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Very good. No, Jimmy Snuka was not the man to end his streak.
No. In a tag team match, Strike Force, Rick Martel and Tito Santana.
A great name.
Took on the Brainbusters.
Ooh.
Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
I think while they were there, they got pushed pretty good. I'll say the Brainbusters. Okay. In a retirement match.
Oh, I know the Warrior won that.
Yeah. He beat Savage.
Yeah. Next, Andre the Giant versus Jake Roberts.
Oh, wow. Andre?
No, Jake won by DQ.
Oh, okay. Well, in a tag team match, Demolition took on, forgive me if I get this wrong, Genichiro Tenryu and Koji Katao.
I guess I'll say Demolition.
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I couldn't have pronounced them any better.
Hart Foundation versus Greg Valentine and the Honky Tonk Man.
I'll say the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
Okay. In a singles match. Golly, there's a lot of matches.
Yeah.
In a singles match for the Intercontinental Championship, the champion, Mr. Perfect, took on the challenger, Big Boss Man.
Man, did Boss Man ever win the Intercontinental title? Yeah, I'll say Boss Man.
Yes, very good. It was by DQ, so I don't think he actually took the
No, he didn't take the title, but he won the match. Right. Next, for the Intercontinental title, the Ultimate Warrior versus Rick Rude.
Warrior won that.
Nope.
What year was this?
I don't know, whatever your WrestleMania 5 was. The next year, he took on Hogan for the world title.
Oh, what a bummer. In a singles match, Earthquake versus Greg Valentine.
Earthquake.
Very good.
In a singles match, Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Bad News Brown.
Duggan?
Double DQ.
God damn it. In a tag team match that lasted 59 seconds, Power and Glory, which was the team of Hercules and Paul Roma, took on, what a rush, the Legion of Doom.
Oh, that'd be Legion of Doom.
Very good.
Bobby Heenan with the Brooklyn Brawler versus the Red Rooster.
The Red Rooster.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. but it's the Red Rooster. Crap. In a singles match, Ted DiBiase versus Virgil, but he had Roddy Piper in his corner.
Virgil.
He did win by countout.
In your main event, Randy Savage, the WWF World Champion, versus Hulk Hogan.
Hogan won.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hogan won the main event of that one, too.
I had to think about that. Why do I have two more matches here?
That's weird.
That's weird.
Oh, well, whatever. In the main event.
Did I skip some?
I don't know, man.
No.
How many matches did you say there was?
I had 14.
14? I started here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
So you only have one more.
Weird.
Anyways, Hogan won the main event.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if we get this one.
All right.
How many did you end up with?
We'll be tied, I think. Okay. Oh, wait, you only have four fingers?
I have nine.
Oh, I have 10.
You have 10? All right.
But ask me anyways. I'll see if I know.
Tito Santana versus the Mountie.
They were kind of giving the Mountie a push. I'll go with the Mountie.
Very good. All right. Well, you win. You win. Anyways, that's it for the show. Boy, that was a long pay-per-view.
That was.
Congratulations if you stuck around for that one. There's some music. Thank you, Hilton.
Riveting podcast.
Hilton with the music. Thank you very much. No, you're not getting a push, Hilton. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.